بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا فريد الدين الطاهر رحمة الله عليه had covered the seven oceans of love. And the leading Sufia say we are still in the first and he has gone past the seventh ocean. His beginning is quite unique. He was a pharmacist. And the pharmacist in that day was not like the pharmacist today. He used to be like multi-millionaires, very, very wealthy. So, an ordinary person walks into the shop and is looking from one end to the other end. Fariduddin is getting agitated. Buy something if you want to, otherwise leave. If you're looking from one end to the other end, 10 minutes are gone, just looking from one end to the other. So this person says, I'm wondering how your soul is going to depart. Because when I look at you, sometimes the soul is in this commodity, this property, that wealth, that safe, that treasure. So your soul is stuck into these things here so deep. So I'm just wondering how your soul is going to leave. So you're even more agitated. Says, my soul will leave just as your soul will leave. So he says, do you want to know how my soul will depart? So, these are 2 rakat namaz, says the qibla, la ilaha illallah, and is gone. So, sometimes a lesson is delivered practically, demonstrated. Abu Zura is a famous muhaddis, right? There's amongst those few muhaddisin that knew over 1 million hadith. So now it's his time to leave the world. And the students are great students like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, all the other students. They're thinking now, the right thing is لَقِّنُوا مُوْتَاكُمْ بِلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Person is about leaving, then you need to prompt him to say the kalima. And how do we say it? So we have to say it in a way that he will appreciate. Because his whole life was learning and imparting hadith. That was his whole life. So they came across the hadith, مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Last words, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ you enter Jannah. So they started with the sanad. As they started with the chain of reporters, then he said it, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And he had just said that مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ and he passed away. He hadn't completed the hadith. So our Mustafa Rahmatullah says, sometimes a lesson is delivered and it's more effective when it's done practically. Sometimes the teacher is disappointed with the class, is a bit agitated with the class, because of the misbehavior, and then he says, any person misbehaves, and you know, he just takes out the stick. So, one is, he says, that, you know, you misbehave in a vacuum. And one is, you misbehave, see this. So I ask you, which way is more effective? So he said that, La ilaha illallah, and inshallah, he practically entered into Jannah. So, a physical demonstration. So, Fariduddin Sahib, he understood. This person came to remind me. And reminding is important, وَذَكِّرْ وَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَاتِ الذِّكْرَ. Zikra, that's reminding, it's always beneficial. So, remind. In a space of negligence and unmindfulness. And we get consumed by one thing or the other, sometimes the wrong things, sometimes the right things. But there's something that is definitely distracting us. So the thing that we need to get right here in the Khanqa is to get ourselves right. But starting off with which point? Start off with that point that we have devoted ourselves by the grace of Allah Ta'ala to Allah Ta'ala. That's why he's sitting here. Why is it like that? Devote ourselves. Then when we devote ourselves, devotion requires that all our senses are directed towards him. So it means you were just married now, and now your wife wants some attention from you, and you are paying attention on your phone. Will she appreciate that? Or if it is that, you know, she said she loved you and all that, now that you are alone for the first time after nikah, and she's more worried about the phone and the gifts that came, and she's not talking to you right, will you appreciate that? So, you have come into the house of Allah Ta'ala saying that, Allah Ta'ala, I am devoting myself to you. وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Come into the house of Allah Ta'ala, devoting yourself. Now look at Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Anbiya also had to go through this. This whole initial phase that's leading him towards the Nubuwwat and the first encounter of Wahi. Starting off with those days in Hira, secluded himself. Nobody, it's just him and just that space. So you can imagine now it's a cave, dark, you can't see anything, you can't talk to anybody. There's no life, no visible life there, nothing visible. It's just you. What is provisioned for that period, sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's more days, less days. But he's devoted himself entirely. So you can't see anything, you can't talk to anybody, you can't listen to anything. It's just you and Allah Ta'ala. So that teaches you a lesson that when you want to learn, وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. تَبَتَّلْ means to cut yourself away from everything else and turn to Allah Ta'ala alone. If you move yourself from everything, in قِطَاعًا الْخَلْفِ well, وَالتَّوَجُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ انْقِطَاعًا الْخَلْقِ وَالتَّوَجُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوَجُّهًا كَامِلًا. That you have turned yourself away from everything else and now you have turned to Allah Ta'ala in entirety. It's called devotion. That's called dedication. Otherwise, it's not devotion. It's partial. And you won't appreciate for yourself. Someone gave you that type of attention, you won't like it. You want an attention that is complete, perfect. That's what you will appreciate. If your son went for Umrah or went for Hajj, came after 2 months, and he's coming to see you, and you're busy with your phone, with the newspaper, with your radio, well, the child likes this thing. He wants attention at that time. He wants you to pay attention to him. So now you're giving yourself to Allah Ta'ala, then are you truthful? When you are distracted by one thing or the other, I ask you, is that devotion truthful? That is why Allah Pak says, يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُمْ. What helps there is the truth and honesty. And that is why the truth and honesty is the highest level. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ, Allah Pak says, صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. صِدِّيق extols the virtue of a Nabi. And this says that he's a Siddiq. Now Siddiq is what? Siddiq is an embodiment of truth. A whole conglomeration of honesty. So, well, that is the highest a person can reach up to. A Siddiq. But then he must be true, absolutely true. Now, if you say, Allah Ta'ala, that I've given myself to you and you're interested about something else, then are you true? Are you honest? Imagine, with a lot of struggle, you got a job in a shop, right? And you're not paying attention to the business. You're worried about how's the World Cup going on, who's scoring the goals. You're not paying attention to the business. The boss sees you in this state here. Will he say that you're an honest person? You're not reliable. You're not honest. You're not truthful to my business. So now, are you truthful to Allah? And that's what Allah wants. And for الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. So the first step, that is what is required. Is the devotion true? Is it honest? See, everything has an adab procedure, everything. You want it to go right, then do it, follow the sequence, and you get right. A road is a sequence, and you go right. A dish to prepare, there's a sequence to prepare it, right? Then you get it tasting right. You put all the ingredients in one shot. One shot, and you want the taste to come, and it happened. So first braise the onions, then second step, third step, fourth step. Now you get the texture, you get the flavor, you get the excitement. But now you didn't worry about the procedure, no sequence, nothing else, everything. Egg and potato and goats and everything, rice, put, and you want the taste to come up. Can't come out. For your own food, you won't enjoy it. Everybody does that to you, you won't enjoy it. Now, you're talking of the ultimate, talking of who Allah Ta'ala. And you give all wrong procedures. Mind is here, mind is elsewhere, communication with someone else, right? And then you want to say, I want Allah Ta'ala. Is that communication right? So when the communication is not right, will you get the ultimate benefit? That benefit is not going to come. So now you came here to benefit. So Tina, how must I benefit maximum? So the first thing is that your mind mustn't be diverted, distracted. And the first point of distraction is the eye. Now, one is watching something that is haram. That there's no question about it, that you leave it out. Haram, right? Or doubtful. It's haram or it's doubtful. I'm looking at this piece. I'm not sure is he an Amrad or not, got girlish features or not. If you from this side, maybe look like a girl, but from that side, looks like a man. Now that's doubtful, so don't look at it. You have doubts, then don't look at it. So one is that which is haram or doubtful, you don't look. The second is not haram, but it will distract you from Allah Ta'ala. Right? It will distract you. You gave yourself to Allah Ta'ala, devoting yourself to Allah Ta'ala, but now you are getting distracted. You look at this person, the topi of course I recognize. See now, you came here to devote and give your time entirely to Allah Ta'ala. Now you're looking at that, for that moment, are you distracted or not? The next question will be, by where you got that topi from? So no, I got from IGSN. So you want clever. So where IGSN got from? Oh, they imported from Jeddah. Oh, so Jeddah, where they get it from? China. So see your mind went. From Topi to IGSN, then to Jeddah, from Jeddah to China. And then you think about, see how the mind will work. What is the cost in China? So going and coming will be about 30,000 rand. With halal food there. Yeah, now food, you have a very, very big struggle for good food. So now you have to take food. You know, see, your mind is working now. I take this food, all that. I said, no, this food is stupid, you must go spend 3,000 rand. Is it worth the while? See, but now, shaitan, how he takes you in the merry-go-round. See, one thing to the second thing, third thing, fourth thing, fifth thing. You're already in China, you worry about the food. See, so you started off like, you know, like a very good thing. Topi is a good thing. But where you landed up, so anything that's going to distract you from the thought of Allah Ta'ala, the love of Allah Ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, don't you look at it also. It's I and what the eyes done, what the eyes do. See? So one is haram, one is that which will distract you from Allah Ta'ala. So you don't even look at it. Not for a second, not for a moment. Don't even admire. So, oh, I'm admiring the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Right? True, you're saying admiring. But you know, your admiration, what it will end up in. Admire now. I saw the building, I saw the mountain, what will admire? I saw a picture. Yeah, this is the Table Mountain. This is Kilimanjaro. Where is Kilimanjaro? It's somewhere in Africa. Yeah, where? So now, where, how you go there, what's the hotel prices? So you see how your mind will take you, take in a merry-go-round. So they say, don't even look at it. Anything that will distract you from your cause. See, look at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Ghar of Hira. And he chose that spot, obviously, that he may not be distracted by anything, not sound, not any scene. Not seen, not sound. See that? Not seen and not sound. Nothing must distract you. So, everything has got a procedure. You follow procedure, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala bring you to the end. Procedure means etiquette, protocol, how you go about doing it. Right? You are appearing in court. It's a court appearance, right? So there's a whole protocol of how you go about appearing before the judge. Now, you're appearing before the judge, hands are in the pocket. How are you? You alright? You're asking the person, hi. Have a good day. Talking to the judge like that, right? You can come and have a picnic with me tomorrow. You're talking to the judge like that. But did you say anything wrong? It wasn't wrong, but was that procedure? Was that the protocol? So, and then you tell the judge, I hope your guys are good and fair. Will you tell the judge, I hope all you guys are good and fair, right? So, now, see the protocol. Did you follow the protocol? You haven't followed the protocol. Now they will say, this is contempt of court. But you say, no, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't hit you, I didn't rob you, I didn't cheat you, I didn't take anything of yours. But why are you looking at me unfavorably? See that adab. You pull it out of the equation, what happens? So that's why in tasawwuf they say, the principle in deen is that, you see, food requires salt for taste, right? So, the proportion of adab to the world, compared to the world, adab compared to the work, right, is the proportion of food to salt. So, the adab must be like food, and the rest of the work must be like salt. That level of adab is required. Then you move in. Then you can say, you're going. See, you're in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and لا ترفعوا أصواتكم. Don't even raise your voice. So now, you're speaking in a loud voice, so you are loud, generally you're loud, right? So what's wrong in being loud? What's wrong in being loud? So Allah is warning, أن تحبط أعمالكم. You may not realize that all your deeds will be cancelled. But this is because of what? The result of just disrespecting. أَنْتَحْبَتَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُونَ. You didn't realize it, and you didn't show that respect. As a result, all your deeds are just cancelled. أَنْتَحْبَتَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُونَ. Just not following procedure, not following protocol, and what it does to that person. And then you see hadith about persons that are following procedure, following protocol, what happens? So, the leader of Wafd al-Thaqif, so, he follows all the procedure, comes to meet Rasulullah SAW, has ghusl, puts on proper clothing, applies itar, goes into the masjid, reads two rakat namaz, and then meets Rasulullah SAW, and Nabi SAW observes what he's doing. And inna fika shay'un shay'ani yuhibbuhum Allah. There's two things in you that Allah loves. Al-hilm wal-ina'a. You're such a composed person. Composed. Do things with procedure. So Allah loves it. But he did, the whole delegation came, and this person was outstanding. See his way, he understands, he has undertaken a long journey, so he may be sweaty, the clothes may be soiled, and so he takes a bath, puts on proper clothing, and goes to the masjid, please to Allah Ta'ala that this meeting with Rasulullah Paksam will go well, accept it, and then he comes. You see, Nabi Sallallahu is watching all this. And then he says, endorses it, that Allah loves it. So just that procedure and what he does to the person, and not worried all about procedure, other sequence, etc., what he does to the person. No, he did what I'm supposed to be doing. See, there's a hadith which says, first, or Quran 35, first, tabiqul khayrat, rush towards good works, right? So now, there's a question that will come, that isar fil qurbat, is it permissible? Isar fil qurbat, is it permissible? That preferring someone else in some good work, is that permissible or not? So there's a discussion. Right. So the first level of discussion is that in things that are maqasid, then you don't make isar. Things that are actual objectives. The actual objectives, you don't make isar in that. How do you make out that this is an objective? This is objective indeed. So you make that out. The adab of a majlis like this is you sit in one circle, if you can. And when you can't, then you make the second circle. See, come closer and just make one circle. You don't have to make a second circle. The circle can end right here. Right here can end. Right here. See where my finger is. See my finger. Yeah, the circle can end. Make a circle. What's that? That's an adab. That's an adab. You don't have to do it, but it's an adab. Everything has got an adab. Abu Bakr sits on the right of the beast person, Umar sits on the left. What was that? Adab. Sometimes the small things we just leave it out. And Abu Bakr and Umar, they're looking at Nabi person, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looks at them. The Sahaba Ikram general, they are so overawed that they can't look at him. But he said, he's got a status. Now, the other Sahaba didn't feel themselves, so what's so different about us that we can't look at him on the face? And these two people are looking at him on the face. What's so different about us? We're human beings, and we're human beings. But you see, status, other position, sacrifice, all are different. Bilal radiallahu anhu is waiting at the residence of Amir al-Mu'min Umar radiallahu anhu. At a time where Suhail ibn Amr and the hierarchy of the Quraysh are there, hierarchy, all the leaders. Bilal was a freed slave. They're all waiting at the residence. And Umar radiallahu anhu sees who's there, and called Bilal first. Gives him a special audience. Now, these people, they were the hierarchies of the Quraysh. They accepted Islam after some time. So around the 10th year of the Hijrat, they must have accepted Islam. Right? Or not 10th year, but the 9th year, so 8th year when the Congress of Makkah had taken place, they accepted Islam. So they think to themselves, hey, we've got no show here. This man is a slave. He's taken all the show. And we are the hierarchy. We are the leaders. And we got no recognition, no acknowledgement. So Suhail ibn Amr says, no, you see, what is considered here is his selfless sacrifice. his dedication, his faithfulness. That's the thing that brought him to this level, which is called an audience. A private, special audience is called. Whereas we are the hierarchy, and we didn't have that. So what counts is the sacrifice, the dedication, the amount of commitment he had shown. And we didn't show it. We were the enemies. We fought in Badr, in Uhud, we fought against. We came right at the tail end. This man came right from the beginning. An unflinching support, faith, respect, commitment. And that's what brought him there. So if we know what's good for us, if we're thinking right. At first thought, or it hurt them, right? But they're thinking right now. We want some type of recognition, then that requires that we also show commitment, sacrifice, we work. And then inshallah, Allah Pak will group us. But now, one shot we want to be received like Bilal, that's unfair. See the thinking right. See how you think. You think right, and how Allah Ta'ala brings you to the right conclusions. Today, all these small things have to be repeated once, second time, third time. So, that's why they say that adab, respect, in proportion to the food, salt and food, you know the proportion, right? The adab must be proportionate to the food, and the amal proportionate to the salt. That's what they say. Dini work. You got that right, then you are winning, then you're flying, moving very fast. Then you don't need too much of lectures and bayans and inspirational talks. Now you're moving, because you got that level of adab. So you see this, minus the adab, and all your deeds are getting, أَنْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Abu Sa'id Khudri reports that Abu Bakr was walking, and someone walked before him. Where's your respect? You know this man here, where's his position? He must walk behind you. So you want the good, then show the respect. This works in deen, it works in dunya as well. Both ways it works. Now, your father's name is Ismail, right? So, you say, Miley, come here, man. Have a good day with us, man. Miley, all right. So park now. You don't run around, let's park here. I ask you, is that the way to receive your father? But you're wrong. Your other friends call him Miley. So you call him Miley, and then what was the wrong? But is that the way to receive your father? Is that the way to receive your father? Now, if the person is not going to show that respect, Miley, you want some tea? There's a fridge there, you can help yourself. Just be at home, be relaxed, enjoy yourself. So what you were saying, was it wrong? Now, are you going to get favored? Allah will not favor you. What you said was not wrong. What you said wasn't incorrect. But I ask you, was there the element of respect in that? So if you were a poor person, and you didn't have that amount of wealth, but you took your father, you know, today is our Eid day, man. You came to our house, mashallah. Whatever we got, we presented before you what you want. Tell me what you want. Whatever we can make. So we didn't have that five-star crockery and all that. We didn't have all that. But we offered him everything that you got. But you know, I would like to take you on my head today. Take care of my head. We made my day today. Happiest day of my life. So now how he feels now. But you didn't have so much of things to present. What you had, you presented him. Presented to him. Now, inshallah, this person's future will go right. That person's future will go wrong. His future will go right. What was the element? The missing element is adab. Now today, that adab is thrown out. It's thrown out of the window. Nobody thinks about it. Or if he thinks about it, he doesn't add any importance to it. Just carries on. Like everything is normal. I don't need to show the respect. The best person after Abu Bakr is Umar radiallahu anhu. He wants to go for Umrah, and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask him, he's going for anything wrong. He's going for the right thing. And then what was the need for him to come and ask a Sunday person that I wish to go for Umrah? And then Nabi Sallam is telling him, Tashrikna fi du'aik. Umar is so excited at words. Tashrikna fi du'aik, ya ukhayya. Just join us in your du'as. Says that, Ma wadittu, I don't even like that I have slapped the entire world in place of these words. But you see that adab. Adab and what he's got. How Rasulullah spoke to him. Just that element of adab and where he brought him. No. One of the things, I'm a free man. Every small thing now, I will tell him and all these things here. Alright. No problem. You don't have to tell him. See now how this other works. And then you see how Umar there rose up after that. I went up. Umar was Umar. Ma tala'at ash-shams ala rajulin afdala min Umar. After Abu Bakr, there's nobody as good as Umar radiallahu anhu. No kana nabiyan ba'di la kana Umar. Had there been a nabi after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. So I'm showing you now that what is the behavior of a khanqa. You know, you came, so you took out your time, devoted yourself, right? And there's something that you want, you came for. So first is the eye. So you're coming for what? You're coming for what? Tabattal ilayhi tabatila. Sabse kat karke hat karke khuda ki taraf mutawajjih hona. Inqita'an dunya. بِالْكُلِّيَّ وَالتَّوَجُّهِ التَّامِّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That's what you came for. So you, the first thing that will let you down is your eye. And then I ask you, the eye, two things. One is haram or doubtful. One is that will distract you. وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْهُ. So I ask you to just admire something. Was it haram? But then see the Quran is saying, لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِي أَزْوَاجٍ مِنْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It's just a glitter of this world. Don't even stare at it. لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ. Don't even stare at it. Don't even take a glance. So why does the Quran have to say that? زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Through these things, we just test them all. So you don't look at these things here. But you see that the distraction. لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَىٰ مَا مَتَّعْنَا. Because you are a cause, the cause is Allah Ta'ala. You want to put your eyes into these things here, then when your eyes have fallen for it, then the next shape is a bite. You know, that type of knife, hey, man, can't get it. Americans are so sharp, eh? German, hey, man. See, our guys are not progressing. These are progressive people. See how you begin to watch things. You're running down your own people. And your whole admiration is German, Chinese, Japan. See where my run. Then you see, no, I must give credit where it's required. So you talk of your people. See, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us faith. Has given us Iman. Compared to all that, compared to Iman, all this is not even a wing of a mosquito. So what you're admiring? Wing of a mosquito. Hey, that wing there. Hey, the lines on it is something else, man. That line there is something else, man. You must go to Japan to see the lines. See where your mind's over. In one of the Hamid Sahib's own bayan, my mind went. Zughanuddin, if you listen to them nicely, then Allah inspires your heart. So, he was talking about advancing, you know, worldly progress, materialistic progress. And the gist of what you're saying, leave that to the ghafil, let them progress. We must just draw from them. We need something, there's a car that just take from the kingdom. We don't need to progress, be in line. That was the gist that I understood. Maybe something else, but this one I understood. But I said to myself, this was exactly the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That was exactly the essence of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua for his children was, وَبِجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Me and my children, they must do namaz very well. Salat is well, everything is well, from the beginning, from the toilet, right till the end, then everything goes right. And if something is not right there, then something in your life goes off. But from the beginning of the salah, right till the end, everything is right, then whole life goes right. So now you see his whole focus for himself and his family, what was it? Salah. But now, we are living in this material world, and we have material needs, don't we have? What are material needs? You can't live without food and water, without shelter and warmth. Can you live? I mean, you can't live. So for that, he understands that. You know that Ibrahim was oblivious of these facts. He says, وَرْزُكُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. See, ثَمَرَات, ثَمَرَةُ الشَّيْ. What is ثَمَرَةُ الشَّيْ? The end product. You know, you work so that the thamara, the end, is the results of the imtihan. That's the end. There's a factory, right, producing cloth. So he says, ثَمَرَةُ الشَّيْ. This is the fruit. So all the fruit, the finished product, let them enjoy it. That's what Ibrahim al-Sim was saying. That let these people toil. Let this kafir toil. And let us enjoy the fruit. So he'll toil for Toyota. Big noise about Toyota. Big soldier. And we'll enjoy it. Right? They'll talk about Coca-Cola. And we'll enjoy it. Don't drink Coca-Cola. No. But they toil. And you're enjoying the fruit. Let them toil. Because the whole purpose in life is dunya. Mata'ul hayati dunya. That's the whole aim. The aim is mata'ul hayati dunya. It's just the temporary fleeting things of this life. That's the objectives of their life. That's the objective of their life. They're running after what they have made their goal. That's the goal, they're running after that. But you made your goal, the akhirat. You do that. It's namaz, salah. Get that right. This is the goal that they make. So they'll make a car, they'll make this, they'll make a plane, jet, Sputnik, whatever they do, right? Rocket, all that. So they made that the goal of their lives. And your goal of your life is get your salah right. Get your obedience right. See that? See, his children, what he said? مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. And for the material needs, وَرْزُكُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. He could have made his dua. Wallah ta'ala, you know my children, I أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرَعٍ. It's not cultivable, this land. No cultivable, no rain, nothing here. No streams, no farms, no orchards. Allah ta'ala, make it cultivable. Streams, and so beautiful lands it must be. And all their needs are taken care of. So he says, no, that let them toil, let these kuffar toil, and let them enjoy. But my children, let them be subjected, submitted, devoted to you. See, we all talk of distribution of duties, isn't it? Everybody can do everything. Be a shoemaker, builder, plasterer, painter, sewer, tiller, farmer, everything. Doctor, can it happen? Maybe one in a million. That person also needed someone for him to be ushered in the world, right? Himself. He needed a midwife, he needed a gynae, pediatrician, right? Pediatrician, gynae, midwife, then the mother needed her mother. So many people came into the equation for you to come calmly, gracefully into this world. So at no point can you say that you're totally independent. You will need someone. I was saying, my friend, the soul will say, Dawamul Iftikariya. Get two things right. Akhlaq and Dawamul Iftikar. Now this is just concept. For you to learn the concept, it takes a lifetime. People don't realize these things. See that, say, business, what is it? Maximum wealth. Minimum time, least work and least effort, no legal implications. And anything else can be added to that. Maximum money, least effort, no legal implications, right? And minimum effort. Nothing. But now you know the concept of business, right?
But now to make the money, you know the fakir, you got it. That's what we feel. Oh, I know about sabr, so I got it. I know about ikhlas, so I got it. I know about sunnah, so I got it. So you know the concept, but have you got the reality? Two different things, chalk and cheese. It takes a lifetime to get these things into the life. So where the students go off, I learned about sabr, so I know it. So what is teaching me about sabr? I know about it. It's just a concept. Even if you know the concept of business, you still have to go under some training to be able to be a good businessman. You can't just rock up and say, I know the concept, I can just fly. It takes time. You need someone's supervision. See, you're talking about the eye. No? Then the second thing that comes into the equation, adab, you're talking about adab, is tongue. Because this is the things, the areas that will let you down. You're a good person, but what lets you down? Sometimes your eyes let you down. Sometimes it is your tongue. But tongue, I just have to give a small explanation of what tongue. Tongue is what you are passing across or what someone is passing to you. Not just what you are passing, what you are sending and what you are receiving. What tongue means what you are sending and what you are receiving. So at all times you have to be now so focused, right, that you understand that what you are sending is right and it's supposed to be sent. If you didn't say it, then there would have been some complication or problem or difficulty, so you had to say it. Number one. Number two, what you are receiving. Not only what you are sending, what you are receiving. Because it will take someone else's tongue for you to be able to receive. Right. Without that person's tongue, can you receive? Can't receive. It's just the tongue is just a machine for you to send or for someone else to pass on to you. So now, how careful you need to be about the message that you are sending across or the message that you are receiving. See, all the fights that take place is mostly centered around the tongue and the eye. Yeah, he, you know, what good I did to him, and see what he talks about me. Hey, he's a delinquent, this person, man, he's another karam. What I've been speaking and what he's doing, can you see? But just the tongue, misuses the tongue and what he does to the person. A small misdemeanor and what he does to the person. So the second thing they are talking about is don't your tongue just be in full control. Amlik alayka lisanak. You be in control. Don't let the tongue and your emotions or your temptations control you. Or you can see a nice girl, hey, but you look smart, man. So someone tells you, so no, I'm appreciating. See, today is a dunya. What dunya is today is to cover up for any small wrong that you, big or small wrong. I'm appreciating her beauty. So what's wrong? See, so in some way or the other, you try and cover up for the mistake that you're doing. The world is teaching you this. Don't admit your fault. So that's the world teaching you in this day. Don't admit. Don't ever admit your mistake. Then you'll be a winner. So, are you trying your best to be on denial? Don't admit, don't acknowledge. But this not admitting, non-admission, denial, where it stems from, where it came from, shaitan. قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اِسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ وَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ أَبَا. So where this thing stem from? In the heaven, where it stems from? It stems from Iblis. And acknowledgement, where did it stem from? Acknowledgement stems from Adam al Islam. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا وَسَدْ. Acknowledgement. You would have covered up very simply. Say, Allah Ta'ala, I was looking for your proximity. In the process of looking for your proximity, I did what I did. Because I was told, شَدَرَةُ الْخُلْدْ وَمُلْكِ لَا يَبْلَىٰ. So I didn't want to lose that eternity. Therefore, it. So I didn't eat out of temptation. It wasn't driven by temptation. It wasn't driven by emotions. It was driven by your love. So it was a mistake and error in my calculation. So Allah Ta'ala, how can you take it so seriously? Did he use that stance? Did he use that card? When he's been told by Allah Ta'ala, what does he use? Straight away, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا. Now compare his statement against Iblis, right? Iblis, when he said, when he stood upon him, right, his wrong is expressed before him, then he says, فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي Allah Ta'ala, you threw me off the course. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ So he puts all the blame, shifts the blame onto Allah Ta'ala. You have done this to me. And otherwise I've said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا So you see this Ahl Sunnah, this study from Adam alayhi salam. And this Qadri Jabri is study from Iblis. Because the Jabriya, what they're saying, that insan majboor mahaz hai. The insan, he can't help it, he's forced. Therefore, he starts off what? Bima agwaitani. And we say, no, you're responsible. Because you've got a choice of doing or rejecting. You've got the choice, you've got the ability to do or to reject. You've got the ability. But deliberately you went on this path here, so you bear the consequence of the wrong that you have earned. Jaza'am bima kanu yaksibun. So you see where this thing starts from. Now this is a long subject, very long subject. Now, talking of adab, right? So we talk of dawamul istiqar. We talk of akhlaq, right? This is what you come to the Khanqa to learn akhlaq and dawamul istiqar. That's where you come to. Now, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullah explains the essence of akhlaq. Alright, there's some other elements also, but the essence with interaction, socializing, meeting, getting together, what is the essence? What is the essential law regarding interaction, socializing, meeting, business, etc.? What is the law? It says now. See how comprehensive this ulama. I feel to myself, these people is great, they were all ahlajin. If they were excelling in ilm, then the hearts were too good. Too good. For them to write something like this, too good, you know. A genius can't write like this. So he says, if there's any situation that came up, right? Then you go onto the side of your opposition. What he's saying is the tendency is when there is a problem, then you will come towards your defense. Yeah, this person here, he had no right to say this to me. What he thinks? He became Molana. He thinks it's too big. These people have to learn what is adab. See how they talk. They know how to talk also. So, you can't, what have you done? You have come onto your defense against your opposition, haven't you? You have come onto your defense attacking that person. They don't know, man. They must go in the Khanqa, they learn things out. No discipline, no adab, no code of conduct. So he says, that's not the line to use. The line to use to be a person with good akhlaq, good values. The line to use is, you go onto the side of your opposition against yourself. See that what he said? You go on the side of the opposition. So no man. He had a point, he said, no, I got pride here. I think I am suffering with pride. I've got self-admiration in me. Because if anything goes against my integrity, it arouses, it just agitates me. I get aroused, I get agitated, I get angry. So why do I get angered? Because my integrity, my reputation has got affected. See? So your reputation is so much for you. Your reputation is so much for you. أَرَهْتِي أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ Your name, your family means more to you than even the command of Allah Ta'ala. So, you see, so he said that, no, you've got pride. He said, you are a show-off, you're a showy, yeah. For people, then you do a lot of things. For a good name, you do a lot of things, right? Giving a bayan, so you choose to add words, and you want to hear a good comment after the bayan. And you're going to see the audience, what the reports are about your talk, right? So, aren't you a showman? Yeah, you are a showman. You are. So you came onto the side of your opposition against yourself. I ask you, in which scenario the heart will be cleaner? The first one or the second one? See? Which scenario the heart is cleaner? Ask yourself. The second one, right? The whole effort here is man zakka, qad aflaha man tazakka, to get this thing right. And we are working for the defense of our own nafs, integrity, our reputation, our good names. We are working for that, right? And what akhlaq is telling you? Akhlaq is telling you something else. The real essence of akhlaq is telling you, you come onto the side of your opposition, and now you look at it from his angle. You look at it. I say, amen. I am a whole loaded with guna. From head to toe, I see I got pride, I'm aggressive, no mannerisms, I don't know who is big and small, I don't understand, I don't see things right. Everything must work out like how I want it. So I'm self-centered. I'm self-centered. See, now you begin to see your weaknesses. But that is if you inspire, Allah inspired you to see things in that way. Otherwise, what happens? See, where this wrong came from? From the eyes and the tongue. So get the eyes right, get the tongue right. And I explain that the position of adab in Islam, the position of adab in Islam. Now I remember when Miaswam, right? We see our ustad, or even another ustad in the madrasa. We see him from here on the road, how far is the road, right? From that point, you're sitting with, standing with adab. If the ustad is coming closer, you won't even talk at that time. We won't even talk, but he is right by the road, he's coming this way. So we will take cognizance of his presence. Right. But he's not our ustad, he's teaching simultaneously with our ustad, but just that he's an ustad, he's a senior, we will show that level of respect. See the respect that we show. He's there right by the road, he's coming this way. And that the level of respect will show. And now, is that the level of respect shown now? Is that shown? So you see what they are saying. For deen, what must be the proportion of action and what must be the proportion of adab? Imam Bukhari, respect, look at it. Talking about him, his achievement, what Allah Pak had blessed him with. But now, after his passing away, after his demise, someone asked him, after his ustad's demise, someone asked him, do you long for anything? He said, yeah, I just long my ustad is talking the Rahi way. If he were alive, I would just sit in his presence. He learned now, and perhaps he must have excelled past his ustad, because you hear the name and the level that he was at, right? Standard he was. But what was the catalyst in him saying this? I just hope he was alive, I could have been seated in his presence. I say nothing but shukr. This finer aspect, this very fine aspect of Adam. So the man becomes Imam Bukhari, not just like that. You think of Bukhari at all? I say, no, it's there. Proportionate salt and food. Salt and food. Now, he is saying that I only hope that the star was alive, and I could have just be seated in his presence. So the thing that brought him was that adab. I think every hadith that I recorded, made ghusl, made 2 rakat namaz, made miswak, asked Allah Ta'ala, then I recorded it between the mimbar and the qabr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in the haram. Near the multazam or here. But I ask you, was it required of him to do it? To make ghusl, 3 rakat namaz, beg Allah Ta'ala's guidance, then make an entry of that hadith. Was it required? Was it faraz? Was it sunnah? Was it a mustahab act? So this acceptance came, when I look at his works, then this was the element he brought about the acceptance. And that's why you see Imam Bukhari now, the third thing in adab, right? When he's made some shara'it, you see, I will follow a certain criteria. Shara'it means a certain criteria.
when I'm entering a hadith, recording a hadith, then there'll be a certain criteria that I will follow. So one of the criteria is itqan, we'll talk about some other time. But the second one is kasrat and mulazamat. That person must have referred to his elder frequently. Kasrat. You see? He must have referred to his elder regularly, frequently. Now, you may ask why. See, you heard the hadith once. Then, after some time, again you're sitting there. You heard the hadith again. So first time you heard it, you looked at it from one dimension. And the second time, a different dimension. Like you read a kitab, right? The ustad is a kitab. If you treat him like that, right? Then the first encounter, you looking at his message from one dimension. And the second mutala, don't you find something new? And the second iman, I don't know why I did this to this, I didn't understand this. You start believing yourself. So the first time I read it, this was the understanding. The second time I read it, something different, a whole department of knowledge just opened up to me. The third time, but I didn't understand anything. Don't you say that to yourself. You get the seer of hadith. Amen. This one ocean just opened up. This just opened up to me now. But you see that kasrat mulazamat. So now that kasrat mulazamat, that brings about the polish, the finish, and the comprehensive nature. If it's not there, then you are alright, you are what you are, but you're not comprehensive. You're not complete. Right. When you're not complete, then I don't get the satisfaction. I don't get the fulfillment. Right. So, the biryani was prepared, right? But that amount of salt wasn't added. You get the satisfaction. Hey, what are you making a noise, man? Salt is just a pinch of salt that you put in. Make a big noise about salt. Huh? Magar is right. But what a difference it makes. That ingredient in the right proportion applied. How important is this? It's not so much salt. So that's the attitude, that carefree attitude. See, this whole world is going that way. And it's an important of Qiyamah. Everybody becomes self-opinionated. I can do my thing. I can run my life. Nobody must tell me. I'm my own boss. So that same, the thing is stemming from Shaitan. Aba wastakbara. Pride brought him to denial. See, pride, denial. And the other one is Adam alayhi salam and what Ibrahim alayhi salam has been teaching his children. قال له رب أسلم. Just submit yourself, lower yourself, humble yourself, and you'll see things. You'll see the whole picture with humility, submission. You will see everything in perspective. You will see it. But you don't bring this. You don't bring this submission. You don't bring this humility. Then, as though that gate, you know, at the tall is locked, and you hooting, making a big noise. So, no, we're not going to open for you. So there's no access. You can't move. In your mind, you think, "Oh, I'm doing something great," but are you progressing? No progress. They said, "You in the second year, you just park in the second year after 3 years." So, no, I'm enjoying the whole ambiance. In the Tamil Nadu time, in Kanpur, one student said, "Hey, these people are just going through the years." And at the end of the whole thing, they're doing the dastar bandi, and they're coming out. Hey, they're stupid. They don't understand. They mustn't do this thing yet. See me. I mean, it's noon and war. 4 years I'm here. So as long as I'm here, I'm enjoying the madrasa, the food, the environment, everything I'm enjoying. Now they 6-7 years and they're out. 6-7 years and out. I'm in one standard. I'm enjoying everything. See, there's another way to look at it. So when Allah pulls that tawfiq out, when He pulls out that tawfiq, that grace, then the right doesn't seem right. The good doesn't seem right. See, this now, only it becomes perfect, perfect, how it becomes kasrat mulazam. Go, ask, find out, understand. Like I said, the kitab, the ustad is the kitab. First time you understood something, then you understood something else. Not here, Imam
Imam Shafi, Imam Abu Hanifa, this was his old qawl, and then this was his jadid qawl. Don't you hear that? In the old qawl of Imam Abu Hanifa, old qawl, horse meat was haram. But a few days before he passed away, he said it's haram. Imam Shafi, when he was in Makkah, Al-Karama, he had some other opinions. It came to Misr, he's got a qawl jadid. And his qawl jadid is the one that is more acceptable generally. Don't you hear that? So if you just seen once, that's why when they make a comparison of Wa'il ibn Hujr against Ibn Mas'ud, he says, رَأَ النَّبِيَ صَصًا مَرَّتَيْنِ وَهَذَا كَانَ مِنَ السَّابِقِينَ الْأَوَّلِينَ كَانَ مَعَ النَّبِيَ صَصًا فِي ابْتِدَاءِ الْهِجْرَةِ إِلَىٰ إِنْتِهَائِ. He saw from the beginning right till the end. So, see, one of the reasons of Prophet Kasrat and Mulazamat. Allah Barakatuh Fi Nasibah.